We're holding on your Beis Hamikdash about the middle of the, a little above the middle of the Amud, the line begins Lamare, a third of the way down the Amud, I guess. Okay, so we're in the middle of discussing. The Mishnah had mentioned that, according to the mayor, if you sent a Shtar Shichrur to your Eved or get to your wife, then you're allowed to revoke it before it actually reaches them. The Chachamim say Shtar Shichrur yes, a get not, because a Shtar Shichrur is a chayv for the Eved. It's a negative thing for him. Where the get is a positive thing for her. And they said the reason is because a person does have the ability to say, I'm not going to support my Eved, I'm not going to give him food, but not he can't do that about his wife. So there's more in the middle of discussing, does that mean that a person actually has the right to say to his Eved, I say imi ve'enid zonach, you have to work for me, but I'm not obligated to feed you. You can go raise money on your own by collecting tzedakah. So we've been discussing a little bit about that. An Eved Kanani we're talking about, yeah. An Eved Ivri this would never apply to. That's an Eved Ivri. There's no question in Eved Ivri you have to give him food. In fact, you're responsible to support his wife and children also. That's the Yata Ishta Imai. But an Eved Kanani is not. Yeah. So the question is, with an Eved Kanani, is it when the Mishnah is saying that you have the ability to not be zan him, to not support him, is it that you're telling him, I'm not going to support you, I'm not going to give you food at all? If you want money for food, you're going to have to go raise it, for example, by collecting tzedakah. Or are you telling him, or is it just that you're telling him, say masiyah dechavim zenesecha, out of what you earn, out of your earnings, some of it is going to have to go towards your food. No, but you could have, for example, that the master has set him up, for example, in business or something, or hires him out to people or whatever, and the money that he earns from that, some of that is going to have to go for this, yeah. Okay, so Toshma. Eved should go to the Orin Mikot. If an Eved has to go and go to the Orin Mikot, so he killed somebody accidentally. Yeah. He's high. No, because Yeshneva Mitzvah's Mitzvah. Some Mitzvah's apply to him, including the Mitzvah. He's no worse than a Ger Tosha, but a Ger Tosha goes to the Orin Mikot. But in this case, yeah, no. He generally speaking, the rule is whatever Mitzvah's apply to Jewish women apply to our Bodin Tanim. A Jewish woman, as we'll see in a few lines, who ends up killing accidentally, goes to the Ir Mikvah, so does an Eved. That's a full-fledged Goy. That's not a Ger Tovishev and not an Eved Kanani. So, in Rabbi Chayev Lazuna, his master then is not obligated to give him mizonis, to give him food. The Loyoid, because now he can't work for him anymore, he's in the Ir Mikvah. The Loyoid, and not only that, El Shemaisi Yodav Ladaba, not only that, but whatever the Eved earns, whatever he makes or produces or whatever during the time that he's in the Emitzah, goes to his master. Shemamino, which seems to prove, Yachol Adab Loim Le'Eved Aseh Mivein Ezonach. It sounds like that's exactly what we're trying to get at. He can tell him, you're working for me, whatever you produce still goes to me, but I'm not obligated to feed you. The answer is no. Again, not necessarily. Again, we could be talking about where he's saying that given that you're earning money there in the Ir Mikvah, some of that money I expect you to use to buy food for yourself. But, you know, the difference is, basically, you know, if the master has an obligation to feed the Eved, then it would mean, in other words, basically, whether the Eved is producing or not, then he still has to feed him. Okay, the Gemara said yesterday that if an Eved is not even producing the amount that he's worth in that he's eating in food, then it's not really worth it for the master to keep him. But okay, but as long as he does have him, he'd be obligated to, as opposed to if he says, say Masiyah Dechavim, then it basically means you don't work, you don't eat. Okay, so then the question is, Yochi Maisi Yodav Maylu Rabbi. So then what do we mean that Maisi Yodav goes to his master? If he's having to use Maisi Yodav to buy himself food, what's still going to his master? The answer is Mahadrafa. Yes, but you're talking about anything extra. So he needs $10 a day for food. His product, his work product is $15 a day. The extra $5 goes to the master. Great question. Hadafa Pshita, wasn't that obvious? Okay, the master is telling him, same Asiya Dechavim Zenesecha. Why would we think the other $5 should go to the Eved? And the answer is Mao Detema, because you still might have thought, Kivin Delchi Les Leila Yahule, you might think, look, if there's no Hadafa, if the slave is only making exactly as much as he needs for food, then the master doesn't get anything. You might think, even if he's making extra, maybe that doesn't entitle the master to it. Mashmalan, that's the chiddush that he does.
No, but that doesn't answer the Gemara's question. It seems to be pshita.
But it's not so pshita because you might have thought, in other words, that's exactly what we're saying. In other words, not necessarily is there usually any hadafah in the first place. So if there is, why should we assume that? Why should we assume basically that sometimes the master gets it and sometimes he doesn't? When there is he gets it. When not.
Why should we assume that the master gets it?
That's the point. In other words, on the contrary, hadafah. Hadafah, we're saying anything extra goes to the master. So you would think, obviously, mashakana evikana rabba.
Right.
But the point is that since you do have a case where there isn't, that when he tells him, say, masya dechavim zenesecha, then what it means is the first $10 that he makes does not go to the master because the evid needs it for his food. So you might have thought, in that case, maybe the whole thing, maybe everything that he earns goes to himself. No, we don't say that. Really, in principle, the master is entitled to everything the Eved makes. Just the fact is, under this arrangement of say Masya Dechem and Zenesecha, some of it has to go to the Eved's food, but the rest of it, the master is able to keep.
That's what
he said. Yeah, but Masha's returning at a normal amount. The fact that
say the Masya Dechem and takes the Mizunah implies that the master is going to keep the rest. So what's the
finish? Yeah, but it is true, for example, there could be different levels of Mizunah, right? There could be, for example, he could eat out, for example, he could get fancier foods or whatever.
So that's the meaning? I mean, just the...
So basically what it means is he's entitled to the normal amount of Mizunah. But not more than that.
So it talks about the quality then of Mizunah?
The quality, the quantity, whatever, yeah.
Quality, yeah. You could have thought that he can take the extra, you know, 3-star hotel.
Fine, same difference, though.
Since he's, because I don't know, normal is you work, you have food. Here we tell you, okay, you handle your own thing. We think, okay, so maybe once he's handling his own food, so say, oh, you think, okay, so once you handle your food, so whatever you do, the money you might want to keep the rest of the money.
No.
So Marsha says, yeah. Well, you know what? Let's put another line of the Gemara, and then we can talk about what Marsha says about it. Wait. Okay. But in that case, why are we specifically mentioning it in the context of an ir mikva? In general, that would be true if you tell them, say, Masya dechavim zenesecha, that any hadafa, any extra goes to the master. The answer is sakadat hamina, because you might think an ir mikva is different, because the pasuk says v'choy, that he should run away to the ir mikva and live, which implies ovid leicha yusitfe. You're responsible to make sure, the Jewish people in general, are responsible to make sure that whoever is in an ir mikva has an extra chayus, has an extra source of life. Kamash malon, that we don't say that.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what Marshall points out, actually, that's different. Yeah, so...
Special situation of
But that's what we're saying. Even in Ohrim Mikvot, we're still saying that. Even in Ohrim Mikvot, we're still saying that we would have thought that in Ohrim Mikvot, the master doesn't get hard offer, but he still does.
I'm sorry, because you came in the middle.
What is
who ended up in Ohrim Mikvot?
The Eved Kanani killed somebody accidentally. He ran away to the Ir Mikva. We're saying that his master... That's what we're saying just before we walked in. He's saying he's a chassid yid, though. So therefore, the dinim of Ohrim Mikvot do apply to him. He does go to the Ir Mikva. What we're saying is because he can't work for his master anymore, therefore his master is not chayav to give him the zaynus. And not only that, might be out of l'rabba. So we're trying to prove, does that mean the master could tell him, I'm washing my hands of you. I'm not going to give you mizonis at all. You go begging there in the Ir Mikvot and raise money. We're saying not necessarily. All it could mean is some of what you're making, you're going to use for your food, and the hadafah is going to go to me. So Marsha talks about it a little bit. He says that therefore, So when the Gemara asked Pshita before, it's not so poshut, given that we see this consideration about Vachoy.
Regarding our
image. So Marshall says basically because, again, going back to, when he tells him, say Masya Dechavim Zenesecha, automatically you should assume that Hadafa is his master's. Certainly, for example, if a person's wife goes to the Mikvot, as we're going to say in a minute, then he's completely chayav in a Zenes. There's no Hadafa, not Hadafa, whatever. So you would think, there's no question. Obviously, the hadafa goes to the master, and therefore we say that we would have thought that maybe.
Okay.
The Gemara asks, "Well, Mr. Tani, say, but what about this that we say in the next part of the Braisa? Our Isha should go to the Ohrim Mikvot, but if you have a wife who goes in Golus to the Ohrim Mikvot, Baal Chayiv and Zaynus, her husband remains Chayiv and Zaynus while she's there." which implies Miklal Deloy Amalo, which implies that he didn't tell her Seh Masiyah Dechem Mizene Secha. Be Amalo Baila, Amai Chayef, because if he tells her, again, if he tells her Seh Masiyah Dechem Gadayef Mizene Secha, that you work and earn money for your own food, then why is he Chayef to give her food?
Even the
Adasa? Wait. Umbi the Seh for Deloy Amalo, Reh Shanami Deloy Amalo. So if the case of the wife necessarily has to be talking about the case where he didn't make such an arrangement with her, and there's no question, yeah, because there's no question in the case of a wife, she keeps her own hadafah. When you say Seh Masiyah Dechem Mizene Secha, that's what it means. That's what we learned in Sukkot, that's what it means. Whatever she makes, it goes, whatever she makes that's necessary for her food goes to her food. If there's not even enough, as we talked about yesterday, then the husband has to make up the difference. And if there's any extra, she keeps it.
Whatever, that money goes
through the restaurant. But that's the thing. The hadafah, if she does extra beyond, if she does
more than she has to.
Right.
Yeah, that we
learn.
Yeah.
Exactly right. So then, in the sefer for saying that he has to bring her food implies that he didn't say see Masiyah Dechem Mizene Secha. So the case of the Eved would also have to be. And if we're saying that, then the only other way we could understand the case of the Eved is where he says Aseimi Veinizana. You have to work for me. I don't have to feed you. Where therefore we'd be saying that by a woman it doesn't work like that because a person doesn't have the ability to say that to his wife under the Tanoi Ksuba.
But you can't say it to everything else.
You could say it to another. That's what we're trying to prove. That's what we're asking the question. Whether we can prove that that's the case. Yeah. The answer is no. La'olam de'omale. No, you could be talking about a case where you said to the Eved or to the wife, respectively, Seh Masiyah Dechem Mizene Secha. The difference is the Isha B'Deloi Safka. The difference is that in the case of a wife, like we said yesterday, it's talking about where she's not making enough. Okay. So, again, like the Gemara had said yesterday, in the case of an Eved, if he's not making enough, then it's not economical to keep him anyway.
If she is Safka,
then in fact, it does have to provide her food. Yeah, then he doesn't do it because then she's making enough. Okay, so the Gemara asked, Vamid Katani Sefer, what about the Braisa continues explicitly? The Im Amalat Si Masiyah Dechem Mizene Secha, if he specifically tells her Si Masiyah Dechem Mizene Secha, Rashoi, then he's able to, Mikwal Zoresh of the Loyam Allah, which implies that the previous case, you have in other words three cases in the Braisa, one an Eved, one an Isha where presumably he didn't say anything, and one an Isha where he said Si Masiyah Dechem Mizene Secha. So you see, the second case must be talking about where he didn't say that. In that case, the second case has to be similar to the first case of the Eved. There's no Seh Masiyah Dechem Mizene Secha. Must be Aseim Zayin Ezanach. The answer is no. La'olam No. What it means is like this. The immaspekes, the third case is like this, that if she's making enough money to be able to live off of, for Omar Law, and then he tells her, Seh Masiyah Dechem Mizene Secha, and then at that point he tells her, you know what, you're anyway making enough to live on, so go ahead, see Masiyah Dechem Mizene Secha, rather than me having to schlep over there to bring you money or food or whatever, you just earn money and support yourself. Rashai, then he's allowed. So in other words, it's not really a third case. When his wife is in the Eir Miklat, he has to bring her food. But he has the ability, and if she's not making enough, he doesn't have the ability to say see Masiyah Dechem, even if he says see Masiyah Dechem Mizene Secha, that's not going to work because she's still not going to make enough and he's still going to need to bring her food anyway. If she's making enough, then he has the ability to say it and make it stick.
Isn't that
Pashut? No, Maspekas Maila Memra, isn't that so? So what's the Chiddush? If she's making enough, what's the Chiddush? The answer is, Maudetema Kol Kvodavas Melech Pnima, because you might say, look, the covered of the daughter of a king and all Yisrael of Bnei Melechim is to stay indoors. Generally, women, it's not sneeristic for them to go out and get a job outside the house in those days. Especially, Rashi says this is a city where she's not. In Eir Miklat, it's not even a city that she lived in originally. In her hometown, fine, you know, everybody knows her or whatever. But in a strange city, you can't necessarily expect that. So Rashi points out like this: the difference is if she's living at home, she doesn't have to. In order to earn money, she doesn't have to go out to get a job. She can be staying at home, and people will be bringing her weaving work or whatever to do at home. Like this, where she's in a strange city, nobody knows her. She's going to have to go out and start pounding the pavement and giving out resumes, and No, she can't leave the Eir Miklat, but within the Eir Miklat itself, she can be going around and then spreading the word. But that's the point. In other words, at home, there's not necessarily a conflict between Kol Kvodavas Melech Pnima and having a job. because she can have a job where people bring stuff to her. In a strange city, she can't do that. She's gonna have to go around and find work.
Yes, important.
That's also true, right?
It belongs to all the
other mikvot were cities where Levim lived.
Right.
They're all cities where Levim lived, but yes, you also had Rabchim, you also had people who killed Beshovig in those cities. Yeah, okay. Anyway.
The Levim was spread out
as a punishment. It was meant to be, and this week's parasha, Kalkim Yaakov, Vafitz and Yisrael, that Shimon and Levi have to be spread around among the Jewish people. They can't all be in one place. But Levi got it in an honorable way. They got 48 cities where they get Truma and Meiser and whatever, and they're spread around among the Jewish people in order to be able to teach them. And Shimon is spread around as teachers. Fine, but it's also this way they're mashpia, so for the better of these Rotskin, right? You know? First of all, Shimon didn't get a nachla of their own. They only got they basically got a bunch of cities within the territory of Yehuda because of what Shimon and Levi did in Shechem, yeah. And also what they did to Yosef, yeah. So therefore, so Shimon didn't get a nachla of their own. They just got a bunch of cities within the territory of Yehuda, and even that was only a temporary thing. The Divrei HaYamim tells that in the times of David HaMelech, the population of Yehuda had grown so much that they needed those cities. So they made Shimon leave. So they wound up different groups of them scattered to different places in Eretz Yisrael. Most of them ended up by the Aseret HaShevatim, which is why they're counted among the Aseret HaShevatim. And there's others, the Shimon. The Pasuk mentioned some of them found nearby lands, new Eretz Yisrael that had and conquered them, whatever.
So you curse their anger.
But I'll divide them among Yaakov, Hafitz and Yisrael, and I'll scatter them among Israel.
So how come Levi and Shimon didn't end up with a Aseret HaShevatim?
So Shimon did, Levi didn't, because since the Kohanim and Levim have the job of serving in the Beis Mikdash, when Yerovam set up his Eglei Azav and announced, we don't need Dafka Kohanim and Levim, anybody can apply, then the Kohanim and Levim had no reason to stay there. Most of them came south to Eretz Yehuda in order that they should be able to continue coming to the Beis Mikdash and serving over there. They didn't want to have anything to do with Eglei Azav. Yeah.
That's how, yeah. Whereas Shimon,
apparently by that time, or again, in the times of David already, most of them had been forced to leave the territory of Yehuda, because Yehuda needed the land, and therefore most of them wound up among the Aseret HaShevatim. Actually, there's a medrash on this week's Parashat Vayechi, that says that actually Shimon was divided up among all the Orei Mikvot. So in all the Orei Mikvot, apparently, according to that, you had Levim, as well as members of Shevet Shimon, as well as whatever Rotschim ended up in those cities. Anyway. Okay. Anyway, let's get back to this. Okay. So you would think because of Kol Kvod Bas Melech Pnima, maybe you shouldn't make her have to go to work. Kamash Malon, that's the Chiddush that not. Which the Chassam Sofer says, yes, there is what the Gemara is saying. There is the idea of Kol Kvod Bas Melech Pnima. That doesn't obligate the husband, therefore, to bring her food. He still has the ability to say, yes, very nice, Kol Kvod Bas Melech Pnima, but under the circumstances, I have the ability to say, see Masiya Dakim Zenesaya, go out and get a job. It's gonna contradict Kokwuda. Okay. It's gonna contradict Kokwuda. It's not my problem, basically. Okay, but it's interesting also, we were talking about yesterday, can the husband say to see Masiya Dakim Zenesaya, can he say it unilaterally, or does he need her permission? Rashi in Psubas actually said, when we learned it a while back, says that he needs her permission. So over here it sounds like he can do it unilaterally. So how is that? So one of the Mepharshim says, because the difference is over here, normally he can only do it with her permission because she has a chazakah on the nechassim. She's living with him. Here, where she's in the Orei Mikvah, she's halfway toward, realistically, is their marriage going to stay together? I mean, she's going to be in the Orei Mikvah for years and years, and her husband is going to be back at home, you know, until the Tohen Gadol dies. So. Fine, but she's not on the spot there with them. Therefore, there's more of a reason that even Rashi might agree that over here he can tell her unilaterally. That's Rabbi Maglin Rabbaim. Fine, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that he has to. If he wants to, I suppose, fine. But he doesn't. In Maklis, it says that, for example, a Talmud has to go to the Ir Mikvah, and his Rebbe has to go with him because v'choy, you have to provide him chayus over there, and how is he going to have a life without his Rebbe to teach him?
Okay.
and vice versa. Also, if a Rebbe goes into the Oda Mikla, then if somebody about to go with him, the Gemara doesn't say anything about that, about husband and wife, so Pasha's not.
He's
shown
by the door watching who came, when.
No, I mean, for Pasha's, they're not necessarily our Sherman, but that's, people aren't going to randomly go and leave their cities and move
elsewhere. No, so wants to get even with the person.
If the Goyla Jum kills anybody within the Oda Mikla, then that's it, he's kind of, he himself is kind of Mizea. Okay, should we say that this is actually a machlokes tanoim, this question of whether you have the ability to tell an eved asei mi ve'en izanach? So the Braisa says, Reb Shimon Gamliel, yachala eved loymel rabbi b'shnei batzoras, an eved has the ability to say to his master during years of famine, oy parnaseini, oy heitzioni l'chayrus, either give me parnasa or free me. No, harushus b'yad rabbi, his master has the ability, has the permission not to do that. So, so it sounds like my law sounds like the Chachamim are saying you have the ability to say so fine, it's Shnei Batzoras, tough luck. I'm not obligated to give you parnasa or to free you. You go beg. You become a schnorrer and then raise money that way. Whereas Shimon Gamliel seems to be saying you don't have that choice. So if the master doesn't have the ability to give him parnasa, to give him food and the Shnei Batzoras, then he has to free him because he doesn't have the ability to say you stay my eved and I'm not obligated to support you.
Everyone's in the same situation. No one has food.
Okay, but so the answers back. Tizbara. So how can you think that's what it means? Hi, oipanuseni, oheitzioni l'chayrus. And why according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, does the evidence claim either give me parnasa or free me? It should be oipanuseni, attending mafiyada, oipanusasim, apparently. If we're talking about whether he can say, afei mi ve'enizonach, the question isn't whether he should free me or not. The question is either give me food or give me my mafiyadai and let me support myself.
Free me.
There's no freeing involved. So freeing doesn't help the situation. Freeing him, he's anyway going to have to support himself. So in that case, he doesn't have to tell the master, your only choices are to feed me or free me. The choices are feed me or let me have my own keep. Let me earn my own keep. And also, if this is a machlokas, then what's the difference? Why dafka in famine years are we talking? El or no. Hochab mayaskin. And no. Rather, we're talking, it's a different issue. We're talking about that the master has told him that you normally are going to work and you're going to earn your keep that way and whatever is extra, the adafa, I'll keep. However, but in normal times, that's good enough. But in a year of famine, when prices are higher, it's not enough. So therefore, meaning, why should you free me in that case? So either you give me the extra amount that I'm going to need in Shnei Batzoras, where I need more in order to live off of, or free me, and that way, that way people will see me, send me and help me.
As long as you're not free,
the one of the Rabbanon Sabri, where the Rabbanon answer, the Rabbanon say, no, look, man, the Barachim Abnei Chori, Eved Namin, Rachumim Barachim, no, if somebody has Rachmanis on three people, they'll have Rachmanis on an Eved as well. Actually, this gets into the question whether there's a mitzvah tzedakah to Avodim Knanim. There's actually, in Baba Kama, there's a sugya about this, where Tosef says over there, based on this Gemara, it seems that not. If people normally will have Rachmanis on Avodim, and then will give them, but it's not like they have a chiyuv to, like they would to poor Jews. On the other hand, the Rambam seems to say that the Rambam says that no, there is a chiyuv of tzedakah to avodim. Fine, but that's not the same thing. The finest ani nachrim imani yisholim of nedach hashalom. Fine, but not on their own, basically. That's what we said yesterday. According to the opinion, which is in fact the halacha, the Gemara is discussing it over here and not really coming to a conclusion. Well, eventually we'll come to a conclusion, actually. But the Gemara is discussing here this question: can you say asei mi vein izonach? According to the opinion that he can, which turns out to be the halacha, the reason why he can, the Rambam says, the Svara, we talked about this yesterday, is because it's not going to be a long-term thing anyway. Sooner or later, an eved who's in such a situation is going to leave. He's going to escape. He has no reason to stay with a master who's not going to even support him and make him go beg for his food. So, in other words, the Chachamim are not responsible to make sure that a person manages their affairs, their estate wisely. You're a grown person. You can handle that on your own. Okay. Tashma, the Amar Rav. Come, let's try to bring a proof from a din that Rav says. Hamakdish Yudei Avda. If somebody has makdish his servant, his slave's hand, so he declares his slave's hand hektish, and he's able to because they belong to him. Well, Hannah, what does that guy do as far as food? Anything that he makes from now on, anything that he produces is going to be hektish.
Nebuchadnezzar. Himself?
Yeah, no, it belongs to the master. The master. So therefore, the master has the ability to be hektish. Also, what that slave should do from now on is he borrows money from people and then uses that money to buy food to eat. But Oisa, and then he works a payday and pays back, and then he keeps on doing that.
Yeah.
Wait, we'll talk about it on the base how exactly this works. But wait, Shmamina Yochaladav Loimalevatimivanah. That seems to show then that the master has the ability to say that to say that you work for me and I'm not going to feed you. No, because that's the thing. He's making money. So Rashi explains like this. You can't say that first he should do work, because as soon as he does work, as soon as the pruta of work comes together, that's going to become hektish. What he does is he borrows first. Then he produces less than a shava pruta at the time. The Gemara will talk about that in a few lines. So the Gemara is assuming at this point that the master is not providing him with food. That's why he needs to borrow for his food. So we see, I say, Nizain is enough. You still belong to me, but I'm not obligated to feed you. Otherwise, what do you mean? He has to borrow money for the master. Give him food. The answer is, Hoch, my skin, but my lemon is earnest. No, you're actually talking about a case where the master is giving him food. Then why is he borrowing in order to eat? And the answer is, Lahadapa, for extra food. The master is only obligated to give him the basic amount of food. If he wants anything extra, he wants an extra Danish or something, then he's going to have to be loiver vodichol.
Hadafa means
it doesn't matter, but the point is, either way, yeah. Okay, the question is, so why are we allowing that arrangement? V'lei malei hektish, let hektish say to this heved, ad hashta sagilach v'lei hadrafa. Look, until now you've managed without that extra food. The hashta nami tiskilach v'lei hadrafa. So now also you should be able to manage without that extra food. Why do we need to make it that you're going to borrow money and then some of your work, less than a pruta at a time, is going to go to paying that back rather than going to hektish? The answer is hektish gufen nichale, because hektish themselves has an interest in allowing this eved to have the extra food. Because that way the eved gains in value, because he becomes healthier, and therefore eventually he'll be able to produce more for hektish. The whole point of being machtish de avde is that eventually what he produces will go to hektish. So therefore hektish has an interest in fattening him up and making him healthier. And if that means
make it back or
no. Huh?
Once he's hektish,
he'll be like any other hektish. Later on, if the master wants to redeem him from hektish, buy him back from hektish, fine, he can do that. Other than that, then he'll continue. Everything he works will belong to hektish. So therefore, the hektish has an interest in letting him eat extra, in, even if that involves that for a little while over there, he's going to be oisav oichol, he's going to be working less than a kruf at a time and using that for his food rather than giving it to hektish. Yeah. Because once you have a kruf, then it will become hektish. So actually, the Meiri talks about you have a different possibility. Instead of the Eved having to borrow money and then work less than a pruta at a time and pay it back, there's another possibility. The Gizbar, the treasurer of the Mizmikdash, can give him food to eat. Because he'd be no different, for example, than if you're Makdish an animal, where an animal is allowed to be fed out of Hektish. So Meiri says, yes, that's true. But the Gemara is talking about here, let's say the Gizbar is not cooperative like that. So then if he's not willing to cooperate, then you have this fallback method. The question is, Oso Perea, what are you talking about? He does work and pays back the people he borrowed from. Kama Kadishle. Every bit that he works becomes hektish.
He works a little bit.
The answer is the pachas the shavu pruta. That's right. What he does is he works less than a shavu pruta at a time. Before he's done a pruta's worth of work, he pays that back. He gets paid less than a pruta and pays that back to the person that he borrowed from. Or another possibility is he works directly for that person less than a pruta at a time.
Here's money.
A pruta in modern terms is something like a dime. So
how many feed yourself with a dime?
No, you less than. Well, in those days sometimes food could nowadays it's different. We have a different kind of economy. But there's a mission in Ila, for example, that mentions a case where a person sends somebody with a pruta to the store to get fruit, and he comes back with two fruits. So you think it's possible to get some things with less than a pruta.
How about fruits that you earn by going to the market?
So if it was a full pruta, it would go to hekdesh. If it's less than a pruta, so why? How is less than a pruta good? So Rashi says because hekdesh is not able to be cut, hekdesh is not able to be chal on less than a pruta at a time. So
did we see that?
No, we didn't. But and actually, Tosfos disagrees with that. Tosfos brings based on a Gemara and Bava Metzia that says that no, it can be chal on less than a pruta. The difference is Tosfos says you go according to you go according to the das of the person who declared the hekdesh. Normally, a person does not plan to be makdish less than a pruta. So even though, yes, in principle, if a person were to be makdish a half a pruta, it is chal, not like Rashi says. But in this case, the master himself only planned to be makdish when it comes a pruta at a time. Well, it doesn't go back to the master because the servant needs to pay needs it to pay back for the food that he ate.
Everything the servant owns,
but in this case, he borrowed to begin with. He borrowed to begin with, so therefore that debt has to be paid off. But if he borrowed money, then it still has to be paid back. That's, you know, it's still part of the whole idea that the slave needs to be fed somehow.
If he borrows money from a third party, is the master responsible for that?
Don't think so. No. I don't know.
Since the eavid belongs to the master.
The eavid belongs to the master, fine, but that doesn't mean that anything you borrow, then.
Hekdesh owns the slave now.
Well, Hekdesh owns his hands. The master owns the rest of him. But again, we're talking about over here. Here we're talking about, anyway, Malo le Mezonis. The master is giving him food. We're talking about the extra that he wants. For that, Loi Vavar, so yeah.
It basically means that Hekdesh, someone who's paying him, here's less they keep giving him. Which fellow about to stand over and work?
No, he doesn't have, that's the thing. He doesn't have to stand there. Before there's a pruta's worth of work, before there's a pruta, so that's the thing. It's easier to understand if we're saying that he works for the person he borrowed money from. He works less than a pruta at a time, and then that's it. Then that part is paid off. Yes. The Gemara says, Hachinami Mistabra. In fact, that seems to be logical. To Amar Rav, because that must be the correct understanding of what Rav said. Because we find another din, to Amar Rav. We find another din that Rav said. Hamakdish Yidei Abdo. Somebody who's makdish his slave's hand. Oysa Ebed, Oysa V'Oichel. That slave is allowed to work and eat. And the reason must be, and the reason is, he says, the Eloi Abdo Man Polachle. Because if he doesn't work for his own food, who's going to work for him? How else is he going to get food? So, we have two statements of Rav. So how do we understand it? This first statement that said that he's makdish the slave's hand, and we said that the slave has to borrow money and then pay it back a pruta at less than a pruta at a time. And the second one that says that straight out he can work and eat. He doesn't have to do the whole borrowing thing. So how does that work? So if you're going to say the first case, he's talking about where the master is giving him food, the ena yachol, and he does not have the ability to say, asei mi ve'ene zonach. The most he can tell him is, say, mafia dechem b'mzenesecha, you work and earn money that way for your food. So if you say the first case is talking about that, b'chol v'she'ene mala, and the second case is talking about where he doesn't give him food, and therefore he has to work for himself, shaper, then it all works out nicely. But if you're going to say the first case is talking about where the master is not giving him food, because he has the ability to say, what do you mean that Rav is saying in his second statement that if he doesn't work, then that's not for the slave himself, who's going to work for him? How's he going to earn money? Whoever wants, we'll give him tzedakah, like we said before. So obviously the correct understanding, in order to understand both of these statements of Rav, must be that in the first case, it has to be the master does not have the ability to say, therefore, in that case, he has to be giving him food. If he's not giving him food, illegally, basically, then the Eved can work. Because otherwise nobody's going to feed him, because you don't have the ability to tell him in the first place, go begging. So far, Shema Minos is good. That proves that, at least according to Rav, you're not able to say, Asei Mi Ve'en Ezonach.
Compared to a woman.
Well, the same way. Well, you can't say to a woman, Asei Mi Ve'en Ezonach, that's for sure, because it's not Yitzhubah. Rav is saying that the same thing applies to an Eved.
Oh, that's
right. Okay, Toshma, the Amr of Yechanan, but come, we can prove from a statement of Rav Yechanan that Rav Yechanan disagrees with Rav on that. we know that if a person injures if a person injures somebody else, he's chayav kind of in up to five different kinds of payments: nezek, tzar, ribui, shevet, and boshet. Nezek is the fact that the person has lost value, like you were selling him as a slave, he's now worth less. Let's say you accidentally chopped off his hands, and now he's worth less on the slave market. He's worth less as a worker. That's nezek. Tzar is the pain. You figure out, basically, the Gemara explains in Baba Kama, you figure out, let's say you had a person who was sentenced to having his hand chopped off, like they do in Saudi Arabia, but you have a choice. You can have it with anesthetic or without anesthetic. How much would you pay for the difference? That's tzar. Then you have ripui, which is the medical bills. Sheves, which is the time that the person had to take off work, which is more than, that's a different kind than nezek. Nezek is permanently, he's not going to be able to do certain kinds of work. Sheves is even temporarily, while he's recovering, there's lighter kinds of work he could have done, which he can't even be doing now while he's recovering, while he's in the hospital. That's sheves. And boshet is the embarrassment. So each of those, we'll learn in when we get to later this year and early next year in Baba Kama, we'll get into all the details of how this is calculated. Anyway. So, if somebody chops off the hand of somebody else's eved, you give the value of the sheves and the refuah, of the time off work and the medical and the payment for the medical bills, go to the master. And that slave is going to be supported from tzedakah. So you see that a master is able to tell him, go collect tzedakah, because that's exactly what's happening over here.
Because
you see, he says, Eved nizin min tzedakah, that Eved gets supported out of there's no reason that a master who himself has money should be able to collect tzedakah on behalf of the Eved. No, the Eved himself is poor. He doesn't have anything. Therefore, he has the ability. So there you go. And the Gemara answer is not necessarily. No, because again, you could be talking about the case where the master is giving him food. And again, then the question would become, what do you mean that he gets supported out of tzedakah? The answer is, again, the extra thing. And in particular, Rashi says, in this case, the Eved is sick. He's in the hospital for a while. He needs extra food. He needs better quality food or whatever. So the question is, the question is, in that case, then the lashon is wrong. There's two different things. There's zon, which is basic food, and there's panes, which means more generously, more along the lines of the person's specific needs. Rashi actually says panos nizon is mizonos kidei chayev, what he needs to live, and panos is kol shav tzarach of everything else, all his other necessities. So in that case, what are you saying over here? The expression is nizen minat tzedakah. If you're talking about that he's getting the zonus from the master, then it's mispanus minat tzedakah. Elolav shma mina yochol. So there you go. We have to go back to our original assumption that the master is able to tell him that even for your basic food, asei mi vein is onach, you can collect that from tzedakah. Shma mina, that proves it. So it's not talking about where he's giving him the zonus.
He's saying when he can.
Yeah.
Yochol means
that he's able to say. Asei mi vein is onach. So there you go. So Rav and Rabbi Yochanan are not arguing. Now, going back to the Braith,
so
Omar Mar.
So what's the difference between Rav and Rabbi?
Two different opinions, that's all. They're both Amaroim, they're entitled to argue with each other. Omar Mar, we said in the Braith, that nice and shifter for us to the Rabbi, that you give the Sheves and the Refua to the master. Of course you give the Sheves to the master. The whole point is that until now, the Eved was able to work for him. Now he's off work because he's in the hospital. Of course that goes to the master. Okay, the Gemara says you're right. That wasn't the chiddush. Rufu also is jichalei. The chiddush is that we have to be told that the money for the medical bills goes to the master. That's the question. Rufu also did he debar yitzuyme. That should go to the slave himself because he has to pay the doctor bills. The answer is loy tzricha, yes, but we're talking about over here. Okay, amdua l'cham shayomi. Suppose that when he first became sick, the doctors evaluated him and figured it's going to take 5 days for him, let's say, to recover. So therefore, you have to pay 5 days worth of doctor bills. But abdulay sama harifa. In this case, they gave him extra strong medicine. It's if it's shayomi, and he was cured in 3 days. He's ready to go back to work in 3 days. Now, but that stronger medicine is more painful to take. So Mao became a Saudi today. Husi would think then that that extra sar should go to the slave. He's the one who suffered that sar. You would think, therefore, he gets the payment for that extra sar. That goes to the master. That's what we're saying. That's what we're saying when we say refuah sederabo. It means the extra, the part that did not end up having to be paid to the doctor.
If it took a week, it's not taking a month. So
yeah, that's what we're talking about. Yeah. By the way, Rashi and Tosfos talk about it, but here we mentioned Sheves and Refuah and maybe Tsar. What about the various other ones? What about Nezek and what about Boshes? So Rashi says that actually, of course, Nezek goes to the master. The slave was before worth X amount. Now he's worth X minus Y. So of course that difference goes to the master. The slave belongs to him. The
question is, when he gets freed, and he has embarrassment, so then he should get paid later on for his rent.
No, because you do it at the time. So Rashi actually doesn't talk about Boshes. Rashi doesn't talk about what the deal with Boshes is. Tosfos talks about that actually when the Braith had said Shivtoi, it means there's actually, Tosfos calls them, there's like a little Sheves and a big Sheves. The big Sheves is Nezek, the fact that permanently the person is now not able to do certain kinds of work. And the smaller Sheves, which is that temporarily he's not able to do lighter work at all. So therefore, once it says Shivtoi, then automatically includes Nezek. And yet, Tosfos goes on and says that actually, Tsar we talked about in the Gemara, and Boshes, actually, Tosfos points out that in Bava Kamma, there's actually a machlokus whether an Eved even has Boshes or not, whether a payment of Boshes is even given to an Eved who was injured. So if you say that yes, then yeah, that goes, then yeah, that would go to the master. There's no chiddush in that, therefore the Braith is not mentioning it. Okay, so that's that. So basically what it comes down to is we have a machloikas between Rav and Rav Yechanan, whether you're able to say asei mivei nezonah to an Eved. Usually we say when there's machloikas Rav and Rav Yechanan, the halacha is like Rav Yechanan, and that's how it is in this case. Rav Yechanan says you're able to say asei mivei nezonah, that's halacha.
Yes,
you can tell him asei mivei nezonah, you go begging for tzedakah. And again, like the Rambam says, it's not going to be a long-term arrangement anyway. Sooner or later the Eved is going to wise up and then leave town. Yeah. No, it doesn't really make a difference. I lost it. Either way, you have to pay the same amount. It's all the more part of them. Yeah.
Amazing how.
Okay. Okay. Now, going back to, we learned in the Mishnah, the reason we got into this whole discussion is because the Mishnah had been talking about Gittin Nashim versus Shechur Avadim. So we said that according to the mayor, if you're sending a get or a Shtar Shechur, you're not able to revoke either of them once you sent it with the Shliach. Whereas according to the Chachamim, you're able to revoke the get, you're not able to revoke the Shechur. Because in the case of a Shechur, it's Zochin La'adam Shalai B'fana, but it's Chutz for the Eved to go free. Whereas according to the mayor, it's a Choyva for him. Whereas it's not a chutz for the woman. Whereas in the case of an eved, that's what brought us into this whole discussion. That the Mishnah had said that the Mishnah had said with an eved you have the ability to not be zanim. Again, according to Rabbi Yechon, and that would mean outright. You could say the eni zanach, I'm not supporting you at all. And according to Rav, it means that you have the ability to tell him to tell him say masi adechem zenesecha.
So
therefore, with an eved, it's a chutz for him to go free. Whereas with an Isha, it's a Choy, and therefore that's the difference. Where Rabbi Yochanan argues, not Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Meir argues that both of them are Choy. So, Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Neloy LeMeir, we, the other Chachamim, who disagree with Rabbi Meir, said to Meir, and they're not calling him Reb Meir, because they're all Chavarim, they don't have to call him by his title, isn't a schus that an effort and eved that he's going free from his master? Why would you say that? We should say zochem la'adam shalai b'fanav. It's a schus for him. That can be done even not in his presence. So as soon as you give that shkar shichur to the shliach, that you can't revoke it anymore. Amalanu choyvulah. He says to us, on the contrary, it's a detriment to him. Rav Meir says to us, it's a detriment to him. Shimaya eved koyin poslim enatruma. Because if this eved is the eved of a koyin, then by giving him a shtar shichur, you're passing him
eating
truma. We'll talk about. Wait. So we said to him, so what? Why? If the master wants to not feed him and not support him, then he's able to. So the Eved has no gain by the fact that he's remaining an Eved, because even now he might not get food. The Gemara is going to talk about, there seems to be a detail missing, there seems to be a part of the conversation missing over here. The mayor mentioned Truma, and all of a sudden they're mentioning food in general. So.
Well,
no, but the, No, but the fact that up until now, from now on, if he eats truma, he's going to be chayav to pay it back. Up until now, he was able to eat it.
Free.
Yeah.
Well, he can't.
No, it is. And Tosfos also points out that actually truma is cheaper to buy because there's fewer people that eat it, and you have to be kept the tariff. And therefore, we find throughout Shas that truma, generally, when truma is going to be sold, it sells for cheaper than cholin. So therefore, there's that. That's the point. He won't be able to eat truma. That's what the mayor is arguing. He has an advantage as an eved of a kohen that he's able to eat truma, namely that he can buy it for cheaper. And also Tosfos brings from a gemara that we had in Ksubas that according to Rabbi Yehuda over there that an eved is actually able to go out to the granaries and collect truma on his own. He doesn't have to have a master with him. We talked in Yuvamas about this. We talked in Ksubas about this. We had a machlokas tanoim whether that's possible, but according to that opinion, then he himself is able to get truma on his own. No, for himself, because he himself is an eved of a kohen, is able to eat truma.
Say that as a kohen, you can go to the granaries and ask for truma.
Yeah.
But you give truma to a kohen you want to give, you don't have to give to whoever.
That's fine, but the point is he has the ability to go there and ask for truma on his own, unlike according to the other chachamim.
He's an eved of a kohen.
No.
Yeah. Omar Lonu, so the mayor answered to us, Uma ilu eved kayin shabarach ve'eshet kayin shamardah baila. Think about the case. If you have an eved of a kayin who runs away, or a wife of a kayin who rebels against her husband and runs away, halo ochlin b'truma, they're still able to eat truma. Whereas in this case, if you're giving him a shtar shechur, if you're freeing him, he's not going to be able to eat anymore. Aval isha choy hula, but when it comes to a wife, it is a choy for her to receive a get. She can't toss them in a truma because he's passing her from eating truma as his wife. And she's losing out mazonis that up until now she had an absolute right to mazonis because of tnoi sugar, and now she's not going to have that anymore.
And the
Eved is also. No, that's what we said. The Eved was saying does not have an absolute right to mazonis because we said that he has the ability to tell her. He has the ability to tell him shalom mazonis or shalom mazonis.
Right.
Yeah. But that's what Rabbi Meir was
arguing.
That's what we're saying. That's what Rabbi Meir was arguing. It's a chayv for the eved. Therefore, ain chav and ladam shalev upon him. Okay. The question is, my kamrulay or my kamahadvila? Who? What exactly is going on over here in the conversation? There seems to be some part of the conversation missing. He mentioned all of a sudden he brings in the case of an eved who runs away. What does that have to do with everything? Mm-hmm. The answer is hachakama. Are we telling him like this? Okay, Heshiptuni ala Mazonis, fine. You know what? You've given me a valid answer as far as Mazonis, that I started with the argument that he's entitled to Mazonis, and now he's losing them. And you're answering, you know what, even as an eved, he doesn't have an absolute right in Mazonis because the master has the ability to say Shalom Lazuna or Shalom Lafinasi. Fine, I accept that. Matashimuri, Allah Truma. When are you going to answer me about the case of Truma? The fact is, as long as he's still an Eved, he's able to eat Truma anywhere where he is. B'chit Temrus, he might answer me, you know what, you know what, the master still has the ability to pass him from eating Truma by throwing a get to him, by throwing a get shichu to him within his Dalet Amos. And then pass him that way. So in other words, he's able to free him unilaterally without the Eved's permission. Still, Shavik Leva Onik, Ba'azalama. The answer is that the Eved can avoid that. He can avoid being passed from eating Truma by leaving and running away. So he's outside, so he's nowhere within.
Wait a minute. To read in the Arba'amas?
We'll learn later in the Masechta, a din as far as Dittin, and this din also applies to Shechur Abadim, that if you take the get and throw it in Rosh Hashanah, the city of Rosh Hashanah, actually, within 4 amas of the wife, then she's Megurdash. Similarly, if it lands within 4 amas of the Eved, then he's Meshuchar.
So how's anyone away then?
That's the point. That's what the mayor is saying. That you're going to argue that the master has the ability to make the Eved puzzle from Truma, let's say, by throwing him a get.
Right.
All the Eved has to do then is leave town, and then the master has no ability to throw him a get. To throw him a get Shechur. Therefore, in other words, to have a get shichur given to a shliach, therefore, is a chayv to him, because he has a way of avoiding being freed and still being able to eat truma. That's what he's saying. That's what he's arguing. So that's what he
will never be able to eat truma again.
Exactly. That's exactly the point, right? Yeah. Tosfos actually has a different explanation of it, that what it means is that the master could throw the get. Again, we're going to learn later in the Masechta as far as get isha, that the same thing applies to a shikur, that what happens if you throw the get and it lands in the middle, between the husband and wife, not close to her, not close to him. Sofik migudashes, then it is. It's a sofik, whether she's... So the same thing over here with the Eved. If it's a sofik, then he's really in a bad shape. He can't eat truma because of the sofik. On the other hand, he can't marry a bas chodin because of the sofik. He can't marry a shifcha either because of the sofik, so he's really stuck.
An increased incentive to leave before that.
That's the point. That's what the mayor is saying. So that's what he brings in the Braitha. Umar, you know, Eved Kohen Shabarach, the Eshes Kohen Shemodah. So think of the case of an Eved Kohen who runs away, or the wife of a Kohen who rebels against her husband and run away. Hello, Oklum Betruma. Won't they be able to eat Truma? Whereas somebody who receives a Geshit who is not able to eat. Therefore, it's a Chay for him. So the question is, Shapakom, well, then doesn't the mayor have a good point? What would the Chacham answer to that? Well, that's why we have it at the end of our mission. The answer to it is that the thing is, the Eved is the property of the master. Meaning, why is he taka able to eat when he truma, even though he ran away, even though he's not under his master's control right now, because he still belongs to him. But the master has the ability, even while the slave is out of town, to parcel him because he's not necessarily. He can find a Yisrael who's willing to pay 4 zuz, a cheap price, and buy him, or parcel like halacha this, and then he'll be able to parcel him from the interim, no matter where he is. No, not even if he finds him. The point is that in principle, the Eved at this point can be across the ocean, but he still belongs to his original master,
who can find
a Yisrael who's willing to give him for the tier. Usually, Tosfos says, okay, usually you can argue you're not going to find somebody who's willing to buy an escape place, because he says he's just wasting his money. But a cheap price like that, 4 zuz, you can find somebody who's willing to spend 4 zuz.
In principle, you're not going to inflict a chay on someone who's not present.
No, you can't inflict the chayv on somebody who's not present means through a shliach. You yourself still have the ability to, this is not a shliach, you yourself are selling the Eved to somebody else. You have the ability to do that.
Should be in both cases, with and without the shliach, you're not supposed to.
No, that's the difference.
Only for a shliach.
Only for a shliach, yeah.
Meanwhile, this
Eved,
he has to realize
that
he might not be able to eat.
That's the point. That's what the Chacham are saying. Therefore, for him to receive a Shtar Shikur is a chutz for him. He's going free. You're going to say there's a chov that he can't eat Truma. There's a possibility he may not be able to eat Truma anymore anyhow, when he's on the land. Okay. Okay, now we come to
his chutz. I mean, one phase is uncertain when he flies away. So maybe the master will not find a Yisrael, and in the other case, to a certainty that he's going to lose his ability to eat truma.
Okay, but the fact is, he still can't eat him inside a sofik. So he's still also to eat him inside a sofik at that time. Yeah, of course, because if he can't know whether he was sold, then he's not going to be able to eat anymore.
I would still say, an Eved, forever, he's a slave, he's a free man forever. So forget about the truma. You know, if you be a free man and work for myself and make my own money, we'll have to.
Okay, so now the question becomes, will a mayor tenach Eved Koyen? Fine, according to the mayor, we understand then that by an Eved Koyen, there's a chayv in him being free. Eved Yisrael, now we come to your question. Eved Yisrael, my Eichel Meimah, what do we say about the Eved of Yisrael? Yes, but there is a chayv in it, according to the mayor, the fact that now he becomes also to be with a Shifl Knanis. When he becomes free. So therefore, the mayor is still arguing that even for an Eved of Yisrael, you still have that point. So the question is, Adarabba Areu Matirib of Achorin. Adarabba, can't you answer that? Can't you say it's a chus, the fact that now he's able to marry a Jewish woman?
Right.
The answer, the famous answer, is Abdab Efkerin, Nicholai. And Eved wants a wife of Efkerin.
Well, yes.
We mentioned it briefly. It mentioned a few places. It's mentioned a few places in Shas. In Chassidus, in many places, it talks about the idea of in Avodah of Eved Knani versus Eved Ivri versus Omer Ivri. And Eved Knani is the lowest one, where basically he only does Avodah because of the threat of the whip. So Beskeder Nichol, really he wants to live a life of Beskeder, but he knows, you know, the Eved is standing over. No, so the point is, wait, in other words, Zilale, he would rather be able to have the chance to be with a Shifcha, who's Zilale, she's like cheap in his eyes, he can do whatever he wants with her, Shrichalei, she's available to him anytime he wants, and Pritzalei, she's Pritzistic, she acts Pritzistic with him, whereas Jewish women don't do that. Therefore, in that sense, Reb Meir is saying that therefore it's a chayv for him to become a an Eved Meshuchar. Tosfos points out, by the way, what happens if this Eved is a cousin? Mela, a gadol who already knows what all this kind of thing is, fine, a katan who has no experience of that thing, why would it be a chayv for him?
Can he be a slave if he's a katan?
Of course a person can be a slave if he's a katan. An infant can be a slave. But do we buy him as a baby? So the answer is, Tosfos says, as a matter of fact, yes, a mayor would have to agree in the case of an eved katan that you do have the ability to be mezakeh him or get shichru through a shliach. Because yes, then there's no, if he's an Eved Yisrael, then there's taka no chay for him in it.
But here you see his Eved, when he's Meshuchar, he can have all the mitzvahs.
So that's the Chachamim are saying, that's the advantage of it. But Reb Meir feels that the fact is he's used to a life of chedus, and therefore he's, yeah. The Mishnah says, Ha'oimet tnu get it lishti, if somebody says, give this get to my wife, or shtar shichur zeh la'avdi, or give the shtar shichur to my servant. Now, Rashi and Tosfos discuss over here the question, are we talking about over here that the previous mission, we had the Machlokas with Meir and the Chachamim, whether you can revoke it. Here, we're not getting into that, because either we're talking, there's two possibilities what we're talking about over here. Either the previous missioner was saying that he's telling somebody to actually give the get, which means he's exactly, he hands him the get and says, give this. In this case, maybe in our Mishnah where he says tnu in the plural, he's not appointing a bunch of people as shluchim. He's saying to these people, arrange for a get to be written and delivered. That's not the same thing. Or we're talking about that maybe we take out the word zeh. And maybe it's not this get that I'm handing you right now, but rather a get needs to be written and delivered. Either way, ummes, and then this person died. They should not give the get or the get shichur after the person died, because a get or a get shichur can't take effect. After they only take effect when it reaches the person who it's intended for, the wife or shliach or the servant or the shliach, and at this point the guy's already dead, so nothing doing.
But
she doesn't need a get, but on the other hand, it means that if he died childless, she's now tzulcha liyavam, she's now shemeres yavam. That's the reason why a person might want to divorce his wife before he dies is to prevent is to avoid that situation. But if he died before they had the chance to give the get, then yeah.
She'll get some either way.
Yeah. On the other hand, shnu mona l'ish kleini u'mes. But on the other hand, if he said, give a mona to so-and-so u'mes, and then he died, just l'achamisa, that they can give after, that they should give after he dies. So we'll talk about the Gemara. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel, Bamar to Mishmei Rav, V'hu Shetzvurun U'menachem B'Keren Zavis. This last case in the Mishnah, where he says that if you say, give a money to so-and-so, that you should give it to him, that's only if that money is piled up in a corner, meaning in other words, it's already put away, right? So the question is, Maya Sinan, what case are we talking about? Ilema B'Bori, are we talking about somebody who said this while he was still healthy, and then later on, before they had a chance to give it, he died? Because we talked the other day about the difference between matnas bori and matnas shchimra. A healthy person who says give so and so, he can revoke it until some kind of pinyan is done. A shchimra, dibre shchimra ksuvin b'chimasurin double. What a shchimra says is considered as if it's already written and signed. If Ahmad, if he recovers, that's different. Then he can revoke it. But if he ends up dying from that illness. Right, so if he ends up dying from that illness, then yeah. No, he can until he dies, but the point is, it's already Sylvan Vachamasur and Gomorrah. If at that point he dies, then that's it. No kinyan is needed for it to have taken effect. So if he's a body, he keeps supporting my hobby. What does it help if the money is piled up? Holet Moshach. The other guy didn't do Meshicha in it. Or not be the Meshicha. Meshicha is not what you do for money, you do Hagbah. But whatever the point is, you haven't done any kind of kinyan. And if you're talking about shchivmana, my yitziburin, who cares whether it's piled up? Ki ein tziburin nami, even if it's not piled up anyway. Because we know that the words of a shchivmana are considered like written and signed, and therefore automatically the guy is zoche in it as soon as the shchivmana dies. No, we can say that we're talking about the person was healthy when he said tnumana. The difference is that in that case we would say that we're asking how does it work if there was no Meshicha? The answer is it can work the way that Rav Huna says. Rav Huna Amar Rav, like what Rav Huna says in the name of Rav. The Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav. If you have Reuven says you have three people. Mana li biyadcha. Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me a mana. Instead of paying it back to me, tnehu lo l'ploini. Instead, I want you to give it to Levi. If the maimad shlosht, and if all three of them are present when this is said, kana, then he's kana. This is a special kana, which the Gemara is now going to get into a bit of discussion that will continue today. If all three of them are present, you need Reuven, the original owner of the money, Shimon, who he lent it to, or lent it to a legitimate cotton with, or whatever, and Levi, who's going to be the new, who's going to be the new person for it to be given to. So as long as all three of them are present, this is a special takana, the Hanamed, called Maimad Shloshtan. If all three of them are present, then automatically he's cutting it on that basis. And Tosfos talks about, there's actually, as we go through the sugya about it, this whole topic of Maimad Shloshtan, the Gemara is going to have quite a bit to say about it over the next daf or so, but there's actually, according to Tosfos and many other Rishonim, one advantage of Maimad Shloshtan is once you say that, you can't change your mind. Reuven at that point cannot change his mind and say, you know what, I want that mana after all. No, once he says it, then automatically Levi has been koneh. Well, not even everybody agrees he can't change his mind. There's machlokes rishonim. Can Reuven at that point be moichel the debt altogether? Can he say to Shimon, you know what, forget about it, you don't owe me the money after all? According to Tosfos, no. According to Tosfos, that's one of the advantages of the Maimon Shloshtan. The fact that now that if it had just been Reuven and Shimon, and Reuven said, you know what, one day he comes to Shimon and says, forget it, you know what, I'm Moichel the Chayv, that's it. But and even, there's also something the Gemara talks about in a number of places, what if Reuven sells the shtar to Levi? There's no Maimon Shloshtan, but rather Reuven takes the shtar Chayv and sells that to Levi. The Gemara mentions in a few places, I think we learned in the Ksubas, that Reuven has the ability afterwards to revoke that Chayv, which means, therefore, that now Levi has a worthless piece of paper. But in the case of Maimon Shloshtan, according to Tosfos, you can't.
Because whatever the reason is,
we'll talk about later on in the Gemara what the reasoning behind this halacha is, but yeah. So that's it. So he said, the point is that he and the other two people involved are all there, there's Maimon Shloshtan, therefore that automatically that's a kinyan. No Mashiach necessary. Rapapa Amaloy L'Mashchivmada, Rapapa says no, you could say that the case in the Mishnah is talking about Shchivmada. That's going to Razvi. Rav Papa gives a different explanation. You can answer that our Mishnah is talking about a Shchivra. Because we could say that the case in the Mishnah is like another case, like another din that Rav said. The Amar Rav, Shchivra says, give so-and-so a mana out of my property. So it depends what he said. Mana zeh, if he said, give them this mana, noisin, then they give it. Mana stam ain't noisin. But if he just says, give them mana without specifying, then you don't give it. That would be why we said at the beginning of the Gemara that it has to be tzvurin or menachem the Kohen's office. So again, according to Rav's explanation, the reason why it has to be tzvurin or menachem is because you need maimat shloshta, is because it's maimat shloshta. So unless it's tzvurin or menachem the Kohen's office, unless it's piled there, unless there's a defined mana over there, then you don't have it. You can maimat shloshta, it's not going to work. According to the Papa's explanation, the reason why you need Tzvurin and Menachin is because if the Shchivmana just says, give a mana without specifying, then you don't. Why? Chashin and Shema mana cover, karma. Because we have to be concerned that maybe the Shchivmana meant that I have someplace a mana buried in the ground, and that's what I intend to give him. Not this mana that you actually find in my desk drawer, but rather some other mana. So it has to be Tzvurin or Menachin in order that then when he says Tzvurin mana l'plani, then it means this mana that's piled there in the corner. The halacha, however, is we're not worried about that kind of thing. If the Shchidmana says Tzvurin mana l'plani, it doesn't matter whether he said mana zeh or just mana, you still give it.
Even if it's
not yet. The Tosfos has a long discussion over here about how this all works with the concept of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'mes. First of all, maybe that's only according to the mayor. Second of all, maybe mitzvah l'kayim divrei ha'mes only applies to chila if it was deposited with a third party, an escrow or whatever. Maybe it doesn't apply to general. Okay, so Rapapa, my time alone for Rizvid. Why doesn't Rapapa like Rizvid's explanation that we're talking about a bari? The answer is Kasava Rapapa, ki of a rab, loishin of a milva, loishin of a loishin of a pikadon. Because Rapapa holds that rab's din about maimon shloshtan does not only apply to a pikadon, something where the money is actually available right now, where Reuven had previously deposited the money with Shimon for safekeeping, and it's actually present in Shimon's house someplace. It even applies to a milveh. It even applies if previously Reuven had lent money to Shimon, where that money doesn't necessarily exist right now. At some future date, Shimon's going to have to pay it back, but right now it doesn't exist. But Rapapa holds that this din of Maimon Shloshtan applies even in that case. You can transfer the ownership of that chayv, And therefore, you can't say that you can't say that in the case of our Mishnah, it only works with Tzvorin and Menachin. Because even if it's not Tzvorin and Menachin, as long as you owe me a money, because I previously lent it to you, and I'm transferring it to Levi in Maimon Shloshtan, regardless of whether it's Tzvorin or Menachin. Rav Zvid, my time, I'm a Kerapapa. Why doesn't Rav Zvid like Rav Papa's reason? He says, let me tell you, because you can't say our Mishnah is talking about a Shchivna. Mimai, because why not? Because the Mishnah says, it says that if he said, give this get to my wife, or give the shtar shichu to my serf, to my slave, umes, and then he died, you cannot give it after he died, which implies time of demes, which implies, why can't you give it? Only because he died. Which implies if he's still alive, you are able to give it. Meaning, even though all he said was tnu, which means not I have a get already written and signed and ready to be delivered. Tnu, you guys have to arrange for the writing and the signing and the delivering of a get. Now, not after he passed away, but wait. Listen. And it has to be that he actually said the word tnu, which means give it. Because remember, there's three different things. You can have a case where a person says, peaceful get. You can have a case where a person says, write a get for my wife. And as the Gemara is going to say, as the Gemara is going to quote from later in Ar Masechta, from the Mishnah later in Ar Masechta, if you just say, peaceful v'chismu, you just say, write and sign a get, does not mean that they have the right to deliver that to the wife. And if they do, it's possible to get. Because the fact that he didn't say the word tnu implies, basically, he's trying to play games over here. He wants to get written, scare or whatever. He wants to get written and signed. He does not want it delivered yet. And if you deliver, you're not going according to his rutin. Over here, our Mishnah is implying that only because he said tnu is it valid, and you would be able to do it mechayim. Where the shchivmana, even if he doesn't say the word tnu, even if he just says right to get, that's good enough for them to give it. Because we assume, because that's what we're going to quote now, because we assume a shchivmana is he's near death, he doesn't have his head on him straight to be able to think, he's too taken up with the fact that he's about to die to think of saying all the phrases that are supposed to be said, kismu, v'chismu, tnu, but he needs all of them. The Tanan, as we learn later on in Ar Masechta, in the sixth parak, originally the Chachamim used to say, Hayos v'koiler, if somebody is going out to be in chains, about to be executed, and he says, write a get to my wife. He only mentions the writing, he doesn't mention the signing, and he doesn't mention the delivery. Nevertheless, they should still write it and give it, because we assume that since he's in such a panic that he's about to be killed, then he didn't have the chance to say everything. But he meant everything. He meant everything. A person's not going to play games at times like that. Chazru Loima, then the Chachamim furthermore said, they added to that, the same thing applies to somebody who's about to go on a sea voyage, or somebody who's about to go out on a trip across the desert. They're also in a hurry to leave, and it's a dangerous situation. They may not come back alive. Therefore, if they say kisvu, then that's enough. And Rav Shimon ben Shazuri, I'm a serpent. Rav Shimon ben Shazuri says the same thing applies to somebody who's dangerously ill. What's dangerously ill? A shchivmana. So there you go. A shchivmana, we see from that Mishnah. If he says kisvu, that's enough. He doesn't have to say tnu. The fact that our Mishnah says that he has to say tnu implies we can't be talking about a shchivmana. That's Rav Zvid's point. Okay. Master for Ravashi. So Ravashi asked back on that. A man named Malon Damascus and Rav Shimon Shazuri. Fine, but who says all Mishnah goes according to Rav Shimon Shazuri? Dilma Rabbanan. He may be all Mishnah goes according to the Rabbanan. Who disagree with him? Now, the halacha is like Rav Shimon Shazuri, but still, that's neither here nor there. In fact, Tosfos and Amud Aleph points out that the reason why the Gemara did not want to bring in the whole matter of mitzvah, l'chaim, divrei ha'nes is because that's only according to the mayor. We would like to assume that the Mishnah goes according to everybody. By the same token over here, we don't want to assume that our Mishnah goes only according to Rav Shimon Shazuri, even if the halacha is like him. We would rather assume it goes according to everybody. So therefore, that's not necessarily a valid reason, Rav Ashi is saying, for Rav Zvid to not agree with Rav Papa's understanding. Let's get a little bit into the Maimon Shloshtan thing. Gufa, getting back to what we said before, Amar Avon Amar Av, Mona li biyadcha, if Reuben says to Shimon, there's a mona of mine in your hand, and I want you to give it to Levi, but my match lost on if it's in the presence of all three of them, Kona, then he's Kona. Omar Rava, Mistabra, Milsid Rava Pikodin. It makes sense that what Rav is saying applies to a Pikodin. Because a Pikodin, where Reuben deposited the money or the objects or whatever with Shimon, then fine, the object still exists somewhere on Shimon's property. Therefore, it's logical that you can be Machna something that exists right now. Aval b'milvalai, but we should have to assume that Rav did not say this as far as a loan, because a loan, the money doesn't exist right now. Milvalai saw it. Now, even as soon as he lent him the money, it's considered as if it's already been spent. So there's nothing to be back there. However, well, I like him, but I swear in the Eidishter's name, Aval Rav, I said b'milvah, that actually Rav did say it applying even to a milvah. That's what he said before that a papa held that in fact Rav was talking about both Pekadin and a milvah. That's in fact what Rav said. Itranami, in fact, they said also Amar Shmuel Meshmei de Levi, that Shmuel also said in the name of Levi, Milva li biyancha, he said explicitly about a milva. If Reuben says to Shimon, there's money that I owe you, which is that I left you, which is in your hand, Shnei lo leponi, give it to Levi, remind him of Shloshan, if it's in the presence of all three of them, Kona. Then he's Kona. As you said, yeah. One thing it means also, so Mephoshim talk about the importance of it, besides what Tosfos had said, that it means that you can't revoke, that they can't revoke the loan or whatever, it also includes the idea that Shimon does not have the ability to say, you know what, I don't want to deal with Levi. Who says, I borrowed money from you, I accepted a pekudin from you, I don't want to do it on behalf of Levi. Tough luck. What's done is done. The time am I, so what's the underlying reason? Why does Maimon Shloshtan work? It's because it's as if Reuven told him when he gave him the money, Shimon tells Reuven, I am under a shibud to you and to anybody who comes from your power, meaning not just you, but anyone who you assign this chayv to, then I'll be under a shibud to you today.
So he agreed,
that's the thing, he didn't have to agree explicitly. It's basically a non-sadi. We assume that's the ability, that's when he took on this loan, it's implied, yeah.
And you thought in loan, you think some person may apply this
That's what we're assuming. However, by that logic, what about if Reuben is machne? What about if Levi, who were being machne to, was not born at the time? Levi was not even born yet at the time that the loan was originally taken out. Are you going to say then that you can't be that Maimon Shloshtan doesn't work? Even if one's a mayor who says that you can be machne something that doesn't exist yet, you can be machne a thing that doesn't exist yet. But not Aval Dovashane about Ulam Loy, you can't be machna to a person who's not in the world yet. So how could we say that Shimon, when he borrowed the money, took on that I'm willing to pay back to whoever comes from your koyach, but it has to be somebody who exists at that time. Levi doesn't exist at that time yet. So you can't say that that's the reason. So we'll leave for tomorrow the continuation of the discussion, what the underlying reason, what the underlying logic and halacha is for Maimon Shloshtan to be able to work. Any concept, usually these kinds of things have a rationale in halacha. It's based on some. So over here, so Tosfos actually, I'll give you a preview. The Gemara ends up saying that it's actually hilchos b'loy taima. It's actually a halacha without a reason. Which doesn't actually mean without a reason. There's a logical reason for Maimon Shloshtan. The reason is because it makes business easier. Imagine you have a bunch of people at a fair or a convention or something. One of them wants to buy something and has no money available right now, but I have money which I previously lent you. So instead, I'm transferring the ownership of it to you.
But the question that someone receives a right, then you cannot revoke it once he's received that right.
No, but that's the question. How are you machna something that doesn't exist right now? The loan doesn't exist right now because the money's already been spent. The person you're being machna to doesn't exist right now because he hasn't been born yet, maybe.
But the right doesn't exist.
But how are you machna a right? With what is that right? A right is an intangible thing. With what are you machna it? Verbally.
If you say to someone, I give you the right to a house that's going to be built in 5 years on this.
No, then actually the person does not have the right. Ain't not a machna davar shalai bala olam. That in halacha. I don't know how it is in American law, but we're not talking under American law, we're talking in halacha. So that's, we have to figure out how this Maimon Shloshtan thing works without any kinyan being done, without any anything.
But we know for sure that it works.
We know for sure it works. Rav said it works. We know that Rav said it works. And Rav,
in the absence of some just one of the three.
As long as all three of them are present. Yeah. The question is why? What makes it work?
Well,
That's the going to talk to
me. If the three are present, one bestows a right to the second person.
No, but the point is, in other words, that at the time, at the time the loan was taken out, according to this first reason that we said over here, it's at the time the loan was taken out, Levi wasn't born yet. So Shimon can't have had in mind that I'm going to be meshugged to Levi because Levi wasn't born yet. So now, years later, when we're doing Maimon Shloshtam, how does that work? How is Levi acquiring that shibud that would Shimon only owed to Reuben? Let Shimon have the ability to say, I only owed money to Reuben. I don't want to deal with Levi. So that's what we're going to continue tomorrow with how that works.